May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please take your seats? Well, not long after I moved to the married quarters in Medmenham and started going to church in Marlow, a young Spanish vicar called Danny came to join All Saints Church. Danny originally came from a Spanish Roman Catholic family, and when he became ordained in the Anglican Church, his family came to England to visit him. His grandmother was used to attending Spanish Catholic churches, whose interiors were quite different to many of our Anglican ones, and were generally full of statues. As she walked into the local Anglican church just before the service, she said to the vicar, "Where are all the saints?" The vicar, who was waiting for the congregation to arrive, smiled and said, "They'll be here in a minute." Well, we don't tend to think of ourselves as saints, but the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, refers to the followers of Christ as saints. We are his holy, special people, and that invitation is open to everyone. Now, the official definition of a saint is a model person of exceptional virtue who has died but whose life and works continue to be excellent examples today. In case you're interested, the definition of a sinner is an unrepentant and incorrigible transgressor whose behavior and attitudes display the worst excesses of human nature. Well, I think if we're honest, we're all model people sometimes. We're able to exhibit exceptional virtue sometimes, and equally, we can be incorrigible transgressors. We are a mixture of saints and sinners, and the path to sainthood is very much one of a work in progress. One writer says, "We are all clay, but we have the potential to shine like stars." But being saintly shouldn't be confused with being nice. One thing we always need to check when we think we're being good or nice is to look at our motives. Are we being nice on the surface, but are our motives pure? Now, there's been an interesting dialogue this week with Radio 4 presenters talking about thought for the day. John Humphreys was quoted as saying, "Dear God, we've got to cut a really fascinating program short because we're going to hear somebody tell us that Jesus was really nice." There have been a number of letters in the newspaper challenging these words. I wonder how many people think that Jesus was nice. Is this the best adjective to describe Jesus? And does being nice describe our Christian faith? Because when Jesus brought us the Beatitudes, which we heard in our reading from Matthew, I don't think he was being nice. And I don't think he was allowing us to be complacent. In fact, it's the opposite. He is turning the world upside down. The Beatitudes are a challenge to us. They're such a challenge to us that writer and theologian Michael Council says, "We are on the path to sainthood if we manage to achieve any of the following," and they are in his paraphrase: if we have the same spirit as the poor, the spirit of utter dependence on God; if we mourn and grieve over the state of the world today; if we are humble; if we yearn to see justice done in the world; if we forgive others the harm they have done to us; if we work to bring peace; if we suffer because we follow Jesus; if we suffer for standing up for what is right. If you would like to be challenged further than a short sermon can offer on the Beatitudes, the Bishop of Oxford, Stephen Croft, has written a short course for Advent exploring the Beatitudes. Bishop Stephen says at the beginning of the course booklet, together we are called to be a more Christ-like church, to be the church of the Beatitudes, contemplative, compassionate, and courageous for the sake of God's world. He goes on to say that these eight sayings are addressed to the disciples and are a beautiful self-portrait of the character of Christ. No individual has all these qualities, only Jesus himself. So we, therefore, a mixture of saints and sinners, can be helped along the road to sainthood by spending time with the Beatitudes. Perhaps you can think of past saints who have inspired you by their deeds, their thoughts, their actions. Perhaps they have achieved some of these interpretations of the Beatitudes. Perhaps you have a favourite saint who has inspired you. Farmers may be interested to hear of Saint John of Beverley, who was Bishop of Hexham in the 14th century. It is said he performed several miracles, including the ability to calm fierce bulls. But Danny, the Spanish vicar I mentioned earlier, was very much inspired by the Spanish saint John of the Cross, who lived in 16th century Spain and was a contemporary of St. Teresa of Avila. Not only has St. John of the Cross written some of the most beautiful poems in Spanish literature that are both haunting and passionate, but for centuries he has inspired others in their faith with his words and his spiritual direction. But John had to face momentous challenges. He became embroiled in church politics and was incarcerated as a result. John's most famous symbol of the dark night came from the depths of his own dark experiences when he was imprisoned in a cell which was no more than a hole in the wall, and where he spent 9 months with no light or ventilation, treated inhumanely and tortured. He couldn't see much, but he could hear the sound of a river running below him, and the constancy of that sound kept him going. Without pen and paper, he began to write of his own dark night of the soul, memorizing his own words to Christ, whom he called the Beloved, and these words he later wrote down. He saw this dark time, times that we may all suffer, this despair and desolation, as a time of crisis, but a hope-filled crisis. He saw night as a time when change happens. It is a time of becoming. We are becoming the children of God, we heard in our first reading. In his book on John of the Cross, Danny writes, becoming is a lifelong journey that involves leaving behind the things that are not life-giving in order to embrace God's life, growing thus into our own full potential as human beings, into the full stature of Christ. As we continue on the road to sainthood, as we continue with becoming, we continue to try to practice some of the words of the Beatitudes, and we move towards becoming the best version of ourselves that we can be. And in doing so, perhaps inspired by past saints, we are enabled to look around us and to see present-day sainthood in others, in the everyday saints. Theo works in the Sainsbury's car park in Marlow. He is a young man who has the job of collecting the shopping trolleys and taking them back to the supermarket. But Theo doesn't just collect the trolleys and take them back to the supermarket. If he sees you going out to your car with your laden trolley, he'll often help you to put your bags in the car and then take your trolley back to Sainsbury's. If you take time to chat to him, Theo will tell you about his holiday, about his trip to the cinema, and when he went to visit his grandma. Just chatting to Theo, which, by the way, his name means gift from God, and hearing about his simple life, you somehow come away uplifted, feeling better about life. In Theo, I see a glimpse of an everyday saint. He makes a difference to people's day. So as we begin this new day, this new week, I invite you to reflect on how you are becoming. Perhaps you are going through the anguish of a dark night of the soul yourself and are in a desolate place. I invite you to bear your soul to God this week and to listen, like John of the Cross, for the sound of the river, the things that are clear and constant in your life. Perhaps you are at a place where you can encourage others and are able to look around you to discern the everyday saints like Theo in your life and to encourage their own and the everyday saints. And in doing so, continue with your own becoming. And one way of reflecting may be to choose one beatitude and to try and live it out this week as a way of seeking our own becoming. And may we all be everyday saints, making a difference to the lives of others, in God's name. Amen.